Do you want to do the intro?
I would love to. Understanding Train Station, Living Between Cultures with Josh and Faley.
That sounded so sophisticated. I'm sorry. That's like, I see you with the mustache and it's like, Living Between Cultures.
I should be Josh like smoking a cigar or something.
Okay.
Smoking a cigar and twisting my mustache.
Okay, sorry again.
Did you get that? I'm so confused.
Also, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof.
You only understand Train Station? It's all Greek to me.
Understanding Train Station. Living Between Cultures with Josh and Faley.
Welcome back to a new episode, everyone, of Understanding Train Station. I'm Faley.
Welcome back, everyone, and I'm Josh. I feel like we should maybe do like, we haven't told people who we are in a while. I mean, if they make it to this episode, then I'm assuming they already know, but maybe we should just give a quick background of who we are. Faley, who are you?
I am a German from Munich, Germany, who has been living in the US for about 5 years, kind of on and off. And yeah, ever since I came here, I have been based in Cincinnati, so Ohio, which is where you're from.
Exactly. And that's where we met, and that's how we became friends. My name's Josh. I'm an American who lives in Munich, Germany. I've been here for coming up on 1 year, which is pretty crazy to think about. I'll actually be, I think, in the U.S. on my 1 year anniversary. But
I was going to say, maybe we should do like an episode for your 1 year Germany anniversary and answer some more questions, because I feel like it's been going by so fast. We talked when you first moved to Germany. We did like an episode about it too. Then we did kind of a catch-up episode a few months later. And now it's almost going to be a year soon, which is crazy.
Insane.
I think we should probably, you know, follow up on the previous questions and kind of talk about how things have changed for you and how you like it.
Yeah, we definitely should. I think that would be a fun episode. I always, and I talk about this with my friends here, like you don't really realize how you just adjust, and like to other people your life may seem like interesting or like, I don't know, with moving abroad, but to me it just feels like completely normal. And I feel like all of the things that people would have questions about would help me understand and see my life from an outsider perspective and really be able to see how I've grown and some of the ways that I've adapted to living in Germany over the 1 year period. So that would be a fun episode. I would really enjoy that.
Yeah, we should do that maybe. But for those of you who already knew who we were, and for those of you especially who are watching on YouTube right now and not just listening to the audio, I think there are two. Oh no, Josh is still sick for one,
yes,
as you may have just heard. But no, there are two obvious changes, I think, visually. Number one, Josh, what's going on in your face?
Yes, I do have a mustache now. I at the beginning of November, so Movember or whatever, I tried to go completely without any beard and just the mustache, and that was too extreme for me. So I'm letting the beard grow back a little, but trying to keep it short. But definitely wanted to participate in Movember this year just to raise awareness for men's health issues. So specifically testicular cancer, prostate cancer, and men's mental health. So all of you men out there, make sure that you're taking care of yourselves. And also just making sure that you're in communication with your doctors if anything is concerning you, and don't be afraid to go and get the help that you need. So that's why I have the mustache for this month.
So what's the goal there? Like, you just grow it for the whole month of November, right?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's something that most people, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, it seems like it to be more of like the in thing to have a mustache nowadays. But generally just to change the way that you look, to make or to start a conversation with people about men's mental health or men's health and issues in general. So
yeah, some men also just grow like a full beard or something, right? But I feel like it's a lot about beards.
I feel like there are two main things that people do. There's No Shave November and Movember. I've tried to do No Shave November in the past, but I don't like the neck beard that I get, which is just gross in my opinion. So I thought I'd try out the Movember this year, which I was doing some research into the name history of it or where it came from. And I guess it was started in Australia, the movement of Movember. And I guess in Australia, one of the slang terms for a mustache, which I would just call like a stash or a mustache, they call a mo.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's where it kind of came from. And then I actually now have an Australian roommate. And when I did it, he was like, oh, nice mo, man. Or
That's
actually,
so
I think
funny.
He said nice mo mate, which is very, very Australian then. But yeah, it was funny to actually hear someone say that in person, and then I made the connection. Ah, okay, that makes sense.
That's so good to know. I was always wondering why, like, I thought they just, okay, they changed like one letter to make it something different, to give it a meaning or something. But yeah, that makes so much sense. That's really good to know, actually. Thanks for educating all of us.
A light bulb now has gone off and everyone understands.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's awesome that you're doing this.
So that was the new thing on my side of things.
Yeah.
What's new by you? Or
well, I want to say
by you. Like, oh, that was such so German. What's new by you?
What's new with you?
Idea.
Well, I want to say one more comment about the mustache, because like when I first saw you, I was like, whoa. You look like a different person, which I feel like that's the case for a lot of men. Like, beards can change so much in a man's face. I mean, it makes sense. Like, it kind of takes up half of your face in a way. But even, like, especially mustaches, I'm not the biggest fan of them. Mm. I respect it because you're doing it for a reason. And I know that, like, as we said, like, a lot of people recently in the past, like, couple of years have been growing one for fashion reasons, which I personally do not understand. I'd be curious if, like, there are a lot of women out there who like a mustache on a guy, because I feel like it just reminds me of like a, I don't know, 70s pimp or something like that. Like, it doesn't give me good vibes necessarily. But yeah, it seems to be
in our Q&A, in our Patreon Q&A, one of our patrons said, "What's up with the porn stash?" So that's always you know that you're going to get comments like that when you start wearing a mustache, but such is life.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I do it for a reason. So,
yeah, exactly. And I completely support that and understand that. I would probably get used to it pretty quickly, too, because I feel like I'm already used to it now. But on my end, you can probably tell if you're watching on YouTube that my background is different today. And I think we've mentioned this before, because I moved and I'm in my new house now.
Woo woo.
I think I'm going to have to put in a soundproof window here, because like I really like having my desk, which I'm currently sitting at my desk, right at the window. That's what I did in my last office too. That's how I did it in my childhood too. I always have my desks at the window. Really like that. So
I do
you right now. Yeah. But this window isn't as soundproof as my last one, I don't think, or at least I feel like I can hear more noises coming from outside. So like, if you guys hear cars in the background or something today on my audio, I apologize for that. I'm going to have to find a solution for that at some point. I know there's like soundproofing blinds and curtains and other solutions, but I think since I actually own this house now, I might just replace the window and have a solution that way, because if I have to put up a curtain, then I don't have the daylight anymore to film this, which, you know, wouldn't be ideal. So but yeah, I have like a green wall behind me. Also, I'm not at all done with my office. I kind of like, not furnished, but kind of unpacked everything in the rest of the house. And up here, like, this is on the third floor. This is the last part of the house, like, that I haven't really gotten to. And there's still a lot of boxes. I tried to move them out of the way. So like, if you see, if you're watching it on YouTube, you can't really see any boxes right now, but they're all like hidden behind me. but yeah, I have a green wall, which I'm definitely going to paint at some point, because I don't.
I was going to ask you if you planned on changing the color of the wall.
Yeah, I like green in general. I don't really like this particular green, and I don't think that's like what I want in my office. Might just go with like a white or off-white kind of thing. I asked people on Instagram what they would suggest. So if you guys have a suggestion for my wall color, you can also put it in the comments if you want to. But yeah, for now, my new background will be this green wall.
There you go. I'm a little disappointed that we won't be in Cincinnati at the same time around the holidays, so I won't be able to see your house.
Yeah,
I mean, I can drive by, but
yeah, maybe I can just give you a key. You can just check it out by yourself.
Oh, man. No, I think it'll be in the summer that we'll have a chance, hopefully, to...
Yeah, that sucks.
For me to see it, but...
Were we in Cincinnati at the same time last year? Yeah, because we didn't even leave for Germany until after Christmas. Wait, yeah. No, yeah, I don't know what I'm even talking about, because you didn't...
I'm confused, too, because we've seen each other in Cincinnati.
You still lived in Cincinnati.
Yes, exactly.
Obviously, yeah.
And we've seen each other twice in Cincinnati since...
We have for Easter, like April or something.
Yep.
And then in August.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
But you were in your old place, so.
I was. in the original like OG podcast setting.
Oh my gosh.
So with the new backgrounds, not one new background and one new mustache, with the new visuals today, we'll be talking about old concepts, things that you guys have probably heard of before, have probably maybe thought of before, and we thought it would be interesting to maybe address all of those things from two perspectives. So the idea for today's episode is that we are talking about cliches, stereotypes, misconceptions, assumptions, things like that about the US and Germany, and we both share our opinions on them from the person who is from the country and the person who has moved to the country as a foreigner, as an expat. And I think that's going to be really interesting. And I asked you guys...
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was going to just say, and it's kind of fun because then you get the flip side of... You get both sides of the coin, basically, the perspective of both an insider and an outsider.
Exactly. And I want to see like what your take is on some of these things, because I feel like some of these cliches we haven't even... like addressed ever, like in that sense, at least, like that we actually talked about, hey, what's your opinion on this? A lot of these things are just always kind of implied, like we know that these cliches exist about the other culture, but I feel like it'd be fun to address them directly. But before we do that, we have another discount code for all of you language learners out there, whether you're learning German, Spanish, French, English, or business English, which is a really cool like extra little category off the English learning program. You can save money on Lingoda with our code UTS30. You can get 30% off. And if you guys don't know what Lingoda is, you've probably heard it before on our podcast, but it's an online language platform where you can learn with native speakers in Zoom sessions. And it's really cool because they have a maximum of 5 students per class, and you can like ask questions, you get to speak a lot, and it's just a very effective way of learning a language, especially because all the teachers are native speakers. And Josh has actually tried it out before, and I've also gotten lots of messages from people, I think, on both like the podcast platforms and also my own Feli from Germany, like Instagram and stuff, where people have told me, hey, because of you, I actually signed up for Lingoda and I've been learning German or another language with Lingoda. So a lot of people have reached out to me about it.
Yeah, for sure. I've really enjoyed my experiences with Lingoda so far. Like Feli said, one of the really cool things is that you're always learning from native speakers, which is a huge advantage. And they're not just native speakers, but they're also qualified teachers, so they can answer your questions and your specific questions that you may have. Another huge benefit that I've been able to take advantage of is the flexible option that they have, just with you choose when your class is, when it fits your schedule, and you can make it work for you. So if you have a busy life like both of us do, but still have a passion for learning another language, Lingoda is a great option for you.
Yeah, you don't have to do it like every Wednesday at the same time, or like don't have to make sure that you kind of squeeze it in like your work schedule or something. But they have classes 24/7 for all time zones. So like it really doesn't matter if you're in North America like I am, or in Europe like Josh, or maybe in Asia or somewhere else, there will be classes for you as well for your time. And then also you can pick the topics yourself, which is also really cool. Of course, there's always like grammar topics, but also kind of depends on the level that you're at. But you can also just pick like a topic like a, you know, content related topic where it's like for example, using the Deutsche Bahn in Germany, or like traveling in Germany. And then you can like, which the Deutsche Bahn is the train system that is, you know, has like a certain reputation for not being reliable at all, but people still use it a lot because, you know, taking the train in Germany and in Europe in general is like very common. And so if you plan on doing that and traveling to Europe, for example, and traveling by train, you can learn some very helpful phrases that way.
So if Lingoda sounds like something you'd be interested in, they have a few different options for learning. They have monthly subscriptions where you have monthly payments and can take classes. And they also have marathon courses, which is an upfront commitment, and you can earn up to 400 euros cash back with that program. They have 3, 6, and 12-month options, which start from 6 euros, which is $6.75 per class, and it's a one-time upfront payment.
Yeah, and as I said, you can save money with our code UTS30. With that, you can get 30% off on either the marathon classes or the first month off your monthly subscription. So just click on the link in the info box below on YouTube or in the show notes on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Click on that link and use the code UTS30. Okay, and now let's jump into the cliches. So how should we do this? Should we talk mainly about the Germany cliches, mm-hmm. like start with them and then go to the American cliches afterwards? Do you want to go back and forth? What do you think would
I think
be?
Back and forth would be more fun. Mm-hmm. That way, I mean, you don't have to wait until one end or one topic is closed. So let's go back and forth, kind of one cliche to the other. And yeah, that way we jump okay. back and forth between the two countries.
Between the countries. Okay. And yeah, so I actually asked you guys, well, I guess we both did, but I was the one who posted it.
You posted it.
on Instagram and also on YouTube, on actually both channels, on both Understanding Train Station and Philly from Germany, for suggestions of like, you know, cliches that you wanted us to react to or questions. Some people also just like asked questions like, is this true? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of tried to like summarize them afterwards because, I mean, a lot of these things was just something that a lot of people commented, like something along the lines of. So I kind of just tried to combine it and summarize it. And we have a list that we're going to be looking at. And yeah, let's maybe start with the first German one then.
Sure. Let's start with that.
I was thinking that always the expat would react first and then the... Quote,
that's exactly
unquote,
what I was going to say as well. Okay. I think that's the best way for us to do it.
Okay, cool.
Before we get into the cliches, our standard disclaimer, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. Feli is from Munich, Germany. Those are the perspectives that we're speaking from, and these are our personal opinions, and obviously yes. we understand that you can't generalize a whole country based off of just our experiences, but we're just speaking from our personal experiences and the way that we have perceived things throughout our lives.
Yes. Thank you for saying that again, because I feel like that's kind of the disclaimer for a whole podcast. But sometimes people like do get hung up on it when we talk about our personal experiences and they're like, wait, it's completely different where I'm from in the US. So yeah, thanks for clarifying that again. And with that, the first thing that I wrote down for Germany, which I don't even know if this has to be the first one that we react to, because there was just a lot of things where people just literally threw out words like Lederhosen, Dirndl, Bier, and Nazi. So I think those are like the four most typical words that people associate with Germany. And I feel like, yeah. I don't know if we even have to say anything to that.
I would say Lederhosen in Bavaria, yes. Dirndl in Bavaria, yes. Beer, most certainly. And Nazi, I mean, it's just a historical fact.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all I have to say at that point.
Yeah. Are there still Nazis now in Germany nowadays? Yeah, there's neo-Nazis. There's also maybe some, you know, political parties and other groups that you could definitely classify as kind of going towards that direction. They most certainly wouldn't classify themselves as that. But overall, I don't think that there's more Nazis, if you want to use that term, in Germany nowadays than in other countries, because there's also a lot of those groups in the US and in other European countries. So yeah, because I always feel like a lot of people are like, oh, there are Nazis in Germany is what a lot of people will say. And it's like, yeah, back in the day, in the 1920s through 40s, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And probably post-war, there were still a lot of undercover Nazis, like people that, you know, used to be part of the party.
Was it closeted?
Yeah, basically. I mean, post-war Germany was a very interesting environment. But that's a whole different topic. Anyways,
I was gonna say.
those four words are just like, okay, yeah.
Like the key words for Germany.
Lederhosen, Dirndl. Yeah. I mean, the beer thing is definitely true. Like, Germans drink a lot of beer. I think only the Czech Republic drinks more beer on average than Germany does or than Germans do. And I think every German, whether from Bavaria or Northern German, when they come to the US or to a lot of other countries, complain about how the beer is more like water compared to German beer and that German beer is better. So
definitely.
I would personally agree with that too, as a Munich native, and I've been living in the US for like about 5 years, still agree with that. How do you feel about that, Josh?
I would generally say that's true. I would always like, I was going to say I would get the import beer, but I don't like Beck's, for example. So
yeah.
I'm definitely more of a fan of the German beer than American beer in general. I'm not a big fan of microbreweries or IPAs,
same.
Which is what the US is very good at, but it's a very niche.
So if you like that, I feel like then the US might be the better country for craft beers and IPAs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big fan of that either. So for me as like a lager person, maybe even like Hefeweizen, Pilsners, I feel like Germany is the better country for that.
It's so funny to hear Hefeweizen. I like never hear Hefeweizen, but I know that's obviously what it's
Weissbier.
Used. Yeah, I mean, that's what everyone in the US would refer to it as.
I should say Hefeweizen.
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 Oh, furchtbar. But no, I would agree with what you were saying as far as the German beer being better. But I mean, there's good American beer as well.
Yeah, for sure. Let's maybe, since that wasn't really a thing to really say is it true or is it not true, the next German one is Germans are always on time. Your take, Josh.
Always is a big word, but I would definitely say that punctuality is a cultural value here. I know that my German friends, when I invite them to something, they will most likely be on time. And if they are running even 5 minutes late, I will be informed that they're running late.
Yeah.
So I would definitely agree with the fact that that is something that is part of the culture, is making sure that you're on time places. For me, it hasn't been an issue adjusting because I am a very punctual person in general in the first place. So it wasn't something that stood out to me per se. But if I take a step back and consider my American friends and my experience in the US with punctuality, I would say Americans generally are punctual too, but there's like this 15-20 minute period, which is acceptable. Whereas in Germany, I feel like that window of acceptable lateness is closer to 5 minutes
without that's true.
Informing. So,
and I think I also saw something. Hold on, let me see again. Yeah, here, someone in German said, Deutsche sind immer überpünktlich, which, like, overly punctual, which I feel like that's a thing, too. I think there's a saying in German where it says, how is it phrased exactly? Basically, you're on, like, being early is on time.
Yeah.
And then, I forget, like,
and when I was in marching band and we had practices, it was, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, don't bother coming.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the philosophy that a lot of Germans have too. That like, if they're trying to be on time, they will be 5 minutes early or even earlier than that. And the funny thing with you is, Josh, I think I've mentioned this in the podcast before, we both have, that you're actually kind of overly punctual, and you always have been, even before you moved to Germany. And like, if I had a party or any kind of, you know, social gathering, you would be the first person there. And I know that, I think one time you even told me that you waited in the car to not be like early.
I guess that just means my life was boring because I didn't have anything else to do besides get to places on time.
I don't think so. I think it's just, you feel very, you know, not obligated, but like, you just have this commitment that if you say you're going to be somewhere at that time, you want to be there and you don't want to let the people down, which I think is awesome. For some of the things that I hosted back in the day, like a couple years ago, when it was like a party, like a big party, it's like normal, at least here in the US and like this generation, that, for example, you say that the party starts at 9:00. People probably aren't going to show up until like 10:30, something like that. You will be there at 9 on the dot. And I'm like, I think I've told this before. I wasn't even dressed one time. Like, I mean, I wasn't naked, but like I wasn't dressed for the party yet. Like
I
still had to get ready. Yeah, because I didn't expect anyone to show up at that time.
But that's just a thing about me that people have to accept. And then you guys would obviously tell me, Josh, show up at this time. Because
I know I would start telling you. Yeah.
Like the party starts at 9, but show up at 9:30.
Yeah.
Like that's the acceptable time for you to show up.
Yeah. But and now that you're in Germany, I'm assuming you fit in perfectly.
I would say so. I mean, even here, I sometimes, especially because I spend a lot of time with international people, I'm still the one who's very punctual, but it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think it's a good thing.
But what's your perspective on that? From the German perspective, would you agree that Germans are very punctual?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that is very true. And what you said too about being informed about it, that's definitely true. Like if I were to meet up with a friend, I feel like there's also a difference between like work things, professional meetings, and in your like free time. If it's in your free time with your friends or family or whatever, I feel like I'm not the best example because I usually run 5 to 15 minutes late, and I always have. So here's your example that not every German is like that. But that, as you said, is already kind of late. Like being 15 minutes late is like, oh, okay. But I would always tell people beforehand. Like, for example, before I even leave, I would tell them, hey, I'm just now leaving. Like, I'm not going to catch the subway at the time that I wanted to. It'll be the next subway. So, like, I'll be 10 minutes late or whatever. So, yeah, definitely. I feel like Germans always inform each other. And if you don't, it's considered pretty disrespectful.
Yeah.
I was going to say respectless because respectlos in German.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I agree with that for sure. I think that's a pretty true stereotype. And in the US also, what you said about the window that's acceptable, I feel like in your free time, I've also had people be like an hour late. And
see, I would have an issue with that.
Yeah, I do have an issue with that. But yeah. That doesn't mean it's not normal here. Like it's happened more than once. So
Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah, if that were to happen in Germany, I'd be like, wow, I don't think I consider you a friend anymore.
Yeah, that's
like, especially
not cool.
If the person doesn't tell me. Like, that's
who. Yeah.
But yeah, let's go to an American one.
So the first American cliche that we have is everything in the US is bigger than big. What do you have to say about that, Feli? Is it true?
It's true. Yeah, I mean, especially in the Midwest, but I feel like really any place besides like New York City, that's like the only place I can really think of where I feel like it's more, the sizing standards are more European because they don't have a lot of space there. Maybe a few other cities like maybe Boston or something like that. But overall in the Midwest, in the West, in the rest of the country, they just have so much space here compared to Europe. And you can tell, like, if you come to the US for the first time, you'll notice the cars are bigger. They're wider. Mm-hmm. They're longer. They're just huge. The streets are bigger too, though. The parking spots are bigger. Not just, but also the lots, but even the parking spots, like how they're painted on the ground. Like every time I come back from Germany, I park so weirdly because in Germany, I'm used to like going all the way up to the front, like, you know, to the front line of the parking spot. When I do that here, I can't see my car anymore because it's like so far in that like it doesn't stand out in between the other cars. The sizes of meals and everything like at the grocery store are huge. So if you go to a restaurant like and you order a regular size, just expect that you probably won't be able to finish it, which is why taking the leftovers home is such a common thing in the US because yeah, usually you get a really big portion. I think a lot of people say that it's usually a portion for two people compared to Europe, at least. What else? Cup sizes, like if you get a drink or something, they're like buckets of a Coke.
Sometimes
like,
you can legitimately order a bucket too.
Yeah, it's insane. What else? Well, just like I remember the first time that I went shopping in the US when I was 16, I went to a mall. Obviously, the mall is bigger too. The stores are bigger, blah, blah, blah. But went to the changing room and it was like a whole room. Like in Munich, I'm used to kind of sometimes not even having a mirror in there because they don't have space. And you have like this little tiny, I don't even know what to call it, like kabuff in German, like little.
Kabuff?
Kabuff.
I don't know like, that word. Like a cabina, tiny, but even smaller.
Yeah. Thing where you can hardly turn around to try on jeans or something like that. Like it's almost impossible. Sometimes there isn't even a seating thing in there. And then I went, I think it was it Macy's or Dillard's or something like that? And it was like the size of some people's bedroom in Munich. Yeah. Like I could walk from one end to the other. There were like three mirrors. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing here? So that was one thing. Yeah, I think those are, and then like just in general, living space, which I really enjoy. That's why I love that I'm, first of all, able to financially buy a house here, but also just that it's so common to have space here. It's not a luxury thing, at least, you know, where we live. Again, like if you go to a big city like New York or even other cities like Chicago, San Francisco, you will have to pay a lot of money for space. But here in Cincinnati and a lot of other places in the US, it's super normal that you, even if you don't, if you're not rich, you can have a single family house, you can have your own garage, you can have a driveway, you can have a backyard, and that's not considered luxury necessarily. So that I love.
For sure. But so from the American perspective, I would totally agree. I mean, growing up in the US, you don't realize that everything is big. But I mean, you never feel, at least growing up in the Midwest where I grew up, I never felt confined, you know, in the sense of that I feel like everything is so close to each other. Mm-hmm. But having now lived in Europe or been abroad and then comparing the two, the U.S. is significantly larger, or things in the U.S. are significantly larger. Like you said, the food and the living space. I think that's one thing, and as you were saying that, I didn't realize I have a decent-sized apartment here. I live in a shared flat, which has a lot of space. We have a good-sized living room, which is a luxury here in Munich. But for me, it's normal, so it doesn't feel... I don't think I really recognize how luxurious it truly is. Yeah. But I'm... So I'm used to bigger spaces and not always feeling like people are on top of me. But no, I would 100% agree that the cars are significantly larger. That's one thing that is interesting over here. Everything seems so small, you know? You were talking about the parking lot, and it made me think of like how close the cars have to park to each other here as well. It's an adjustment, like getting out of the car because you don't want to scratch the neighboring car. In the U.S., you'll have that sometimes, but generally everything is much more spread out and larger.
Yeah. The stores are significantly larger too. With the parking situation, I would say it's not normal in the U.S. I think I've had it maybe once or twice in like a parking garage or something. But I feel like, especially in Munich, it's kind of normal that you have to make sure, like, okay, which side of the car will be able to open
prioritized.
Up the door.
Yeah, exactly. Or you have to let people out and then pull into the spot. So, no, I would agree with that. I don't really have too much more to add.
What did you say after? Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. What did you say after the cars?
What was I saying after the cars? Oh, the stores are just larger as well.
Oh, yeah. It's like a little journey to go to the grocery store in the U.S.
Yeah. I think you make, so you have to drive, I mean, obviously I live in a city, so I walk pretty much everywhere here, but I think you make up for the steps that you don't take in the U.S. because you drive to the store from walking around in the store because they're so large.
Yeah, which I don't love that to this day. Like, I wish there were more smaller stores here because it drives me crazy that if I just need like a couple things, I have to go into this huge store, walk forever, like... Yeah. If it was a small store and it was just like common items that every store would have, could just walk in, you know, grab it, go to the checkout. I'd be out of there in like 5 minutes. And in the U.S., you know, takes a while to walk from the parking lot into the store, go to the one section to the next section.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I wish they had more smaller stores here, but it's definitely true. And then the portion sizes too, like the 2 gallon things or 1 gallon things of milk and juices and like huge jars of pickles or mayonnaise or whatever I've seen before. It's like, it's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. And I think that's part of why I lost some decent weight from moving here, is just because portion sizes are so much smaller.
Yeah.
But yeah. And also, I would say the people in general are smaller, too. Or in the U.S., they're larger. I mean, I don't know the current numbers, but I think that obesity is more common in the U.S. than it is in Germany. So, I would agree in that regard that the people are bigger as well.
That is definitely a cliche that is also on the list. So maybe
we'll get to that.
Yeah, address that next because it kind of fits in. But back to the German ones. Okay, here's one that kind of lined up with the punctuality one. It said German people are very, how do you pronounce this, finicky?
Finicky.
German people are very finicky when it comes to the exactness of things, like time or grammar rules. So yeah, we've already talked about time, but in general, would you agree with that, Josh, even in regards to other topics?
That's a hard one. I mean, you're comparing two different things, too. There's a difference between exactness and grammar rules. Well, I'll start with grammar rules. I disagree. I mean, the amount of times that I hear, especially where I live and also where I work, where more dialect is spoken, standard German grammar rules are not followed. I mean, the amount of times that I hear the combination of der wohl, like, for example, der Roboter, der wohl da drüben liegt. Like, that's not correct.
No.
Or also, I think the contraction of, like, dem sein, instead of using the genitive. Like, when it comes to standard language, it's not necessarily always used. So in that sense, I would say no, it's not 100% true. However, when it comes to the exactness of things, I think that is relatively true. Also related to language, my German coworkers get very frustrated when they ask for an English translation and I don't have a word for them that it meets exactly what they're looking for mm-hmm. with the German word. That's just one example. But also when it comes to following processes, everything has to be exact. Even if the process doesn't make sense, the process has to be followed exactly. I'm trying to think if there's some other examples where I think that Germans are very exact. I think maybe the stereotype is a little overblown, but I think there's a reason for why it exists, because exactness and correctness is definitely a strong value over here, I would say.
Yeah. From my perspective, I would also say this is true. Probably mm-hmm. the grammar one. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the person was referring to. I agree. Like, obviously, when we speak German, like, we also speak colloquial German, yeah. which is what most people speak. And yeah, there will be lots of incorrect grammar within people's, you know, sentences. Maybe they were talking about just how complex German grammar is, mm-hmm. or when they learn a second language. I would say that a lot of Germans who learn a second language at least try to get the grammar right as far as they can. But then they also, I mean, when they speak English, there's like the time things. A lot of Germans screw that up anyways. So what were you going
to
say?
I was just going to add one thing to that when it mm-hmm. comes to language. They're very exact when it comes to criticizing each other for the mistakes that they make in a foreign language.
That's true.
In that sense, yeah. very, very exact in that sense. But maybe that yeah. fits more under a critical category than exactness. Mm-hmm. But that was
yeah,
just
I agree.
I
like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like other Germans, if they hear another German speak English or another language, will be like, hey, you said that wrong in mm-hmm. the foreign language. Yeah, you're right. And I feel like that's not something that I've ever experienced in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Like even native speakers here don't correct me a lot. But yeah, anyways, about like being exact for other things, I would definitely say it's true. I can't really think of a lot of good examples either. But I mean, for example, laws or like rules that are written out, mm-hmm. they're usually written out very detailed. So I think that's a good example for that. And I feel like Germans overall like wanna know things exactly, wanna like mm-hmm. understand things exactly, like being like a general answer or a general description often doesn't satisfy them, I feel like.
Yeah, so, they don't like to let things be open to interpretation.
Yeah. I can't really think of good examples though, other than like rules. Because if you see like German bureaucracy, like a lot of the, you know, the stuff that's written in whatever, like laws or rules or mm-hmm. even just correspondence, it's just going to be so detailed and so mm-hmm. like just trying to include everything that could possibly be included in a way. Mm-hmm. Besides that, I can't really think of anything. But I know that there are many, many examples, as you said, following certain processes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely true.
Going to the United States again. There are kind of two cliches that we have written down that I'm just going to put together because they're very similar. Mm-hmm. And the first one being Americans eat lots of fast food / unhealthy food. And the second being Americans are fat / Americans are either fat or extremely fit. We said expat perspective first. So you're
okay,
up.
Okay, so my perspective first. Okay, I'm going to keep it short for now because I think we're probably going to get into a discussion. Americans eat lots of fast food / unhealthy food. I know that a lot of Americans would disagree with that, but I feel like from my perspective, yeah, it's true. Obviously, not every American, and it's not like Americans eat fast food all day long, but I know Americans who eat fast food all day long or like takeout. It kind of depends. Like, it's not always just McDonald's, but there are many other chains here that people go to. And I know Americans that are educated, well off. I can think of one person right now. She's been living in her house. She doesn't even have her stove connected.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's just something that I would never experience in Germany. Mm-hmm. But I know these people here. I know many of them who get a lot of takeout. And fast food in a lot of families is kind of a normal thing. And that's, in Germany, at least where I grew up, in my like social circles, if you got a Happy Meal as a kid from McDonald's, that was like a very special treat. Like you got that maybe once a month, or only if you hung out with your coolest aunt or something. Like going to McDonald's was like, wow, like so special. And here, I feel like in so many families, it's kind of normal to get takeout from a fast food restaurant for a normal meal. And even kids usually know exactly what they order at the restaurant. Like they know the menu from all of these different fast food restaurants, which when I came to the U.S. when I was 22, like people would ask me, hey, like I'm going to Taco Bell. What do you want? I'd be like, I don't know. What's their menu? I have no clue. But it's so normal here that everyone knows these menus from the different restaurants. I was going to answer this shortly. I didn't answer. I kind of went into detail already. But yeah, I would definitely say that one's true. About the other one, Americans are fat. So these are like one person submitted Americans are fat, and then another person submitted Americans are either fat or extremely fit. I would say the second one is kind of true. It's, I can't really say yeah. I can't really give it the true stamp, but I want to say like, there's definitely some truth to it because, yeah, you will see both extremes here a lot. Whereas I feel like in Germany, you see more of like the average person more. And here I feel like, yeah, you see like these really built people or very skinny girls or very athletic girls who are cheerleaders or very active in their high school sports, college sports, whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of those also then care a lot about their teeth, for example, which wasn't mentioned here, but I feel like white teeth are also a thing that you'll see a lot in the U.S. or like care about their tan or their curl their hair and things like that. So I feel like that is kind of like one category, at least for girls, that would be the hair and the tan. For guys, might be other things, but just being fit, being built. And then, yeah, you do see a lot of bigger people. However, if you look at statistics, Germans are actually kind of obese too. There's way more fat people in Germany than you would think from being there, if you look at the numbers. So I'm not sure if this is just because in those big cities, these people don't exist a lot, or if it's because Germans, if they're bigger, don't like to be in public as much. Maybe there's more of a stigma there. Yeah, more of a shame. That I don't know. But anyways, the unhealthy food, fast food thing, definitely true. The either fat or extremely fit, kind of somewhat true. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I generally agree with what you're saying. As far as the fast food is concerned, I think there's a difference between fast food and not really a difference, but like you said, there's fast food and then there's also like fast convenient food, which is different. Like you can get really good, healthy takeaway in the U.S. too. It's weird to say takeaway. I'm not used to that. I'm used to saying it now, but yeah, we would say takeout in the U.S. But yeah, I mean, I grew up like if I were on my way to a sports game or some sort of practice or like a church group thing, then it was very common to stop by Wendy's or stop by McDonald's and get dinner on the way. And I did know exactly what I ordered and what my favorite things were. Like I knew the menu pretty well. When it comes to eating out a lot, even me, I still eat out a decent amount here in Germany. I've gotten better about cooking more, cause it's just more expensive here. But no, I think compared to Germany, Americans definitely eat out more and eat more fast food, just in general. I would say that's something that I would agree with. When it comes to the size of the people, I think generally the statement is true that you do have more of the extremes in the U.S. of either very fit people or very overweight people. But I think sometimes that can be a little overdone in the media or where you like when people talk about it. I think I know overweight Germans and I know very fit Germans as well. It's just kind of a, I don't know. I think, like you said, it's hard to compare at least the Midwest with a big German city as well. Because I think also in the U.S., it's more common that if you live in a city that you tend to be. I don't agree with what I was about to say. So I just would say generally, I would say generally, I would agree with the fact that it's somewhat true, but not maybe as true as people think.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's kind of hard to say. I definitely feel like I do see more obese people here. Like, it's more common. I'm not as, you know, I'm used to it in a way, which, I mean, it shouldn't be a big deal. But, like, yeah, I feel like it's definitely more common here. Also, of course, like, those very exaggerated cliches that you might see on media of, like, people in Walmart being on the electric carts.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, that exists, unfortunately. And
yeah,
of course, there's also disabled people or old people who use those, but there's just a lot of bigger people who don't want to walk through the big stores that we just talked about, where it's like a little journey through the store. Yeah, they do use the cart, so that happens.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I was going to add something else about the fast food and, like, takeout thing, because as we said, takeout doesn't always necessarily mean unhealthy. Fast food in the sense of McDonald's, Wendy's,
Burger King,
Yeah, that's not healthy. And, like, there's lots of studies out there also that show that, like, a McDonald's cheeseburger, for example, doesn't decompose at all. And so, like, there's just a lot of, preservatives in that food. And it's not healthy, and it has the chemicals that try to trigger your appetite and stuff like that. So it's definitely not healthy. Another thing, though, aside from fast food, let's just talk about just regular takeout. Another thing that I feel like to me shows that overall Americans, I would say, eat a little bit more unhealthy is that soda is so common here. Like, it's so common that to drink, like, when you're thirsty, to drink soda. You can just see the difference also by how common fountain soda is here and how, like, refills are free. Whereas, like, in Germany, a soda also is kind of something special. And if you go to a restaurant, you'll get, like, a little bottle, and then you have to pay, I don't know, €4 for it. And then if you want another one, you have to pay another bottle. And it's more of a treat, and it's not what you drink against being thirsty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not hydration.
Yeah, and I feel like in the U.S., it's very common that soda is for hydration, even with kids. Not every kid, of course, but I know, you know, in a lot of families, it's super common. And another thing also, having a side of fries or chips, like, I was always baffled, the British people do that too, but how if you order, for example, a sandwich or something like that, it's, like, normal to have a bag of chips or, like, just chips on a plate as a side. And in Germany, that's, like, what do you mean? That's not a side. That's, like, an unhealthy snack, like chocolate. It's like having chocolate as a side. That's another example for me that, you know, stood out to me when I first came here, and sometimes still stands out to me when I see friends of mine eat unhealthy like that on a daily basis, not as a this is something special, but no, this is normal. Like, yeah, of course I'm gonna eat my chips for lunch every day.
I was gonna say that's like 100% something that I would do, is have a bag of chips with a sandwich for lunch. Like, that's completely normal to me.
Yeah,
not weird at all.
Yeah, and to me, that's something that I have learned to tolerate, I guess, but I would prefer for my friends and people that I care about maybe to not do that necessarily, or only do it sometimes.
Yeah.
But
I'm getting hungry. Oh, next topic.
Yep.
Although I'm probably going to order food after this now.
And see, I feel like it's also not uncommon for German young people to get takeout, but especially for families. I kind of like to think about the American family versus the German family, where I feel like, if you wanted, like, as a kid, if you wanted, like, takeout from somewhere, they'd be like, no, we still have bread at home. Or, like, we still have this at home. Like, if we don't have anything, you can have takeout. But if we have something at home, that's what you're going to eat. I feel like that's more the German mentality there. Okay, let's go back to a Germany cliche. I'll let you pick.
Let's see. I think we'll just go with the next one in our list. So the next German cliche that we have written down, and I'll read it in German and then we can translate it, is Deutsche sind immer überpünktlich, ordentlich und steif im Sinne von ernst. So Germans are always overly punctual, very orderly, and stiff in the sense of being very stern.
Or serious,
yeah.
So I kind of like read the first part of that comment earlier when we talked about punctuality. So maybe let's talk about just the second part this time.
So
what do you think, Josh?
That's hard to say because I know some really funny Germans, but I also know quite a few who are very stiff and, mm-hmm. and stern and take things very seriously. I would say if I had to look at like on average, I feel like I know more Germans who are stiff and orderly and like very, very serious as opposed to the Americans that I know that are that way. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I totally understand why this would be a cliche. But some of the funniest people that I know are Germans as well. So like, or people who are very like crazy and mm-hmm. just very unstructured. So it's hard to say for sure. But I would say as a general, a huge generalization that, yeah, I would say that's pretty true. I'm trying to think if I have any good examples that I can share. I mean, one example, and that this is kind of has to do with what Feli has talked about in the past as well, just I think maybe even on the podcast, but definitely in our private conversations, is a sense of Germans are very, I think of sachlich bleiben. They stay to the point and very focused in whatever they're doing. So yeah. I guess in that sense, very ordentlich and stiff, if you look at it that way. Because I feel like in the U.S., you feel like you get good service if someone's really friendly and talking to you and makes you feel good.
Like, let's say if, like, a professional situation, like, for example, you're buying a car or, like, insurance people that you're talking to or those kinds of things. Or you had the experience with, like, the window replacement.
Yes, like that was not good customer service.
No.
But I feel like that's more of the exception than the norm in Germany. I feel like generally people focus on having very clear communication and being very, very, I don't want to say emotionless because that sounds harsh, but very just facts driven.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of stay in their role. Like here, I am in the role of being the salesperson or the representative, and the other person is in the role of the customer, and it doesn't matter who you are as a person outside of that. Like you're not going to talk about shows or your favorite hobby or where you're from. You're just going to be like, hey, I'm looking for, let's say, health insurance, or this is what I need. And the other person is going to provide that to you, kind of.
Whereas I think of when I switched my energy provider in the U.S. and I was talking to them and telling them that I lived in Over the Rhine in Cincinnati. They're like, oh, I love Cincinnati. Cincinnati has such interesting neighborhood names. I always love when people from Cincinnati call because then I get to learn more about the city. Like you wouldn't have that type of conversation very often with a German customer service representative. So in that sense, yes, very stiff and structured and to the point, I would say.
Yeah.
So in that sense, yes, I would say generally, yes.
Yeah, and
do you have to say?
I feel like in that regard, I would say, yeah, it's true. I kind of, in my head, I have to differentiate between, is it a professional setting or is it friends and family? Because I feel like with friends and family, Germans love to party and love to be crazy. Mm-hmm. And if you like hang out at night and play like games or drink or go out together, I feel like it's the opposite. Like I might even know more like crazy party people in Germany than I do in the US, even though I know a lot of them in the US. But when it's, when it comes to things like buying things, I experience it now with buying a house. Like there were a lot of situations where I kind of wish that I had this more like, I don't want to say German customer service, but the German way of communication, like professional communication in those situations, like for example, talking to a lender for a loan, or the realtors, or like the Makler in German, or switching also like your internet provider and things like that, as you just also said with like energy provider. Those communications, those emails or phone calls are sometimes so unsatisfying for me as a German because I feel like they're not giving me what I ask for. They bother me over and over again with spam calls, which is also, that's a whole other topic, but that totally bothers me in the US that like once they have your phone number, they'll just like, or like people text me like, and they'll text me at like on a Friday night or a Saturday. It's like they do this in their free time and they're like, hey, are you still interested in this internet plan? Like I can walk through it with you and like maybe I can get you a discount. And it's like, no, just give me the facts, give me the prices, and then I want to compare and make my decision based on that.
Yeah.
And I don't want the whole like talking to me on the phone about my life thing. Like I know what you're doing. You're trying to, you know, sell something based on like emotions, but I want the facts. And yeah. I had that situation. So here's one example that also kind of goes back to the exactness part that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm very German in that regard, but I've been told this twice in different situations before. No, I think more than twice. I think at least three times. One time at university, one time I think it was with my accountant, and then just now with my realtor, where I was like told that I ask a lot of questions. Or like my realtor said, like, oh, you kind of make me feel like I'm not doing a good job, like, because you keep asking so many follow-up questions, and I'm like, I'm buying a house. I want to understand everything that's going on here. Like, I mean, I didn't say that in a rude way. I said it nicely, but I'm always baffled how that's not normal in the U.S. and it's very normal in Germany. And yeah. both my realtor, also my accountant, told me, well, usually people just, you know, they just want me to do it for them, and then they just sign things in the end. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, but I want to do what you're doing for me. Like, I want to know what you're doing for me. Yeah. Like, I want to understand. I want to make sure that what I signed in the end is good. And I, you know, I wasn't like falling for any kind of trap, things like that. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to the like exactness part, where I feel like I was baffled because I'm not even the German that asks the most questions. I'm pretty average there, I would say. Or at least that's my personal perception. I feel like there's other people who will ask way more questions. But apparently for American standards, it really stands out. And it's not normal, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I have trouble commenting on that just because I haven't done many big purchases or had any complicated interactions with, like, accountants, for example. Mm. But no, I did my own taxes for a while, so I was used to knowing the details of that. But it wouldn't surprise me if that's been your perception. When I think of like how Germans know everything about the purchases that they make, as opposed to me, where I'm just like, oh, I just bought some headphones. I like the way they sound. Mm-hmm. I like the way they look. It's fine. The Germans know how many decibels, what frequencies they work best at. Everyone in Germany knows what the horsepower of their motor is. Like, they're very detail oriented when it comes to those type of facts. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And yes. I would say that Americans are more lax when it comes to that, unless you're like a hobbyist in whatever field that you're working in.
Yeah, so I feel like going back to the cliche that we talked about of like, what was it being serious or what being stern, you said?
Yeah.
I feel like in those situations, more like professional kind of settings, I would say, yeah, it's 100% true. Also, bureaucracy, we've mentioned this many, many times. If you go to a German like official office, like Amt, yes, very, very stiff, 100%. Mm-hmm. But in your free time, I would say not as much, especially like once you've made German friends. Like the first interaction that we've talked about a lot, how like Germans don't really interact with strangers a lot and stuff like that. They might come off as that maybe at first, but I feel like in my friend groups, no, not a lot of people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we answered that.
Should we jump back across the pond again and do an American one?
Yes. Do you want to pick it or should I?
You can pick it.
Okay, let's just like maybe go from the top because I kind of tried to organize them by like very basic cliches and then more like detailed cliches. So we talked about everything's bigger in the U.S. That's like usually the first thing that people say. Another thing that you'll hear a lot is Americans talk loudly, and then someone else said Americans talk too loud. So I guess, wait, my turn because I'm the expat. Yeah.
Yes, you go first.
I go first. Yeah, 100% true. Especially if you're not in the U.S., you'll notice it a lot. And if you encounter American tourists in Germany, you can tell that they're American tourists. Even before you hear which language they're speaking, you can just tell because there will be a group or a family of people on the subway and they're going to be the only ones who are talking extremely loudly.
Yeah, I would generally agree with that as well. I was actually just having this discussion with my roommates. It seems like there's something about the American accent that cuts through crowds.
Really?
I mean, I think it has something to do with the volume as well, but you can always hear the Americans because for whatever reason, I think we just are a little louder generally. But no, I think that's one thing that surprises me when I go back to the U.S. is how loud people speak, or just in public spaces as well.
Yeah.
Generally, I think, yeah. That I would 100% agree that Americans tend to be louder than everyone else. I don't think there's too much to to expand on besides the fact that, yes, we tend to be louder.
I'm kind of thinking it might be connected to the sense of privacy that Germans mm-hmm. have a lot, that they don't want other people to hear what they're saying. Like, like if they're on the phone or talking to a friend, like on the subway, is like, that's the first scenario that pops into my mind. Mm-hmm. Or even at a restaurant, if there's not a lot of people at the restaurant, in Germany, you kind of don't want the waiters and everyone else to like be able to listen to your private conversation. Yeah. Whereas like, I feel Americans don't really care about that as much. They mm-hmm. don't mind, really.
Yeah, it's one thing I was going to add to that as well. And I just was looking to make sure it wasn't in the list. But I feel like there's a sense of, I don't want to say arrogance, because that has a negative connotation to it. But Americans tend to walk around the world as if, like, not that they own it, because, I mean, if they're in the U.S., they just walk with a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. And carry themselves with a lot of confidence in general, I would say. So if they have something to say in general, people wouldn't have an issue with other people knowing it. Unless, of course, it's a secret. So mm-hmm. I think just the baseline of volume tends to be just a little higher because people are more comfortable with the presenting themselves to the world, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it also might have a little bit to do with another cliche that's on the list somewhere where it says like Americans are more individualistic or are very mm-hmm. individualistic. And we can get back to that. But I feel like in this regard, we've talked about this whole like individualistic culture versus more collective culture. And I think in mm-hmm. this specific situation, the German culture is definitely more collective because I think it has, on the one hand, to do with your own concern for privacy, but then also with being considerate for everyone else around you. And you don't mm-hmm. want to bother them with being loud. And I feel like Americans don't have that sense of being considerate as much in some mm-hmm. situations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I have an opinion on that.
But it's also like they know that other Americans won't be bothered by it anyways. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's why I think I have an issue saying that, yes, I agree that there's a lack of consideration. I think it's more of a general understanding and a general agreement that this is the way that we communicate. Yeah. And everyone's okay with it. It's just that I think there's a different social contract basically between the American, between what Americans have with each other and Germans have with each other as far as volume is concerned.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's hard to compare the other.
I didn't mean to say that like Americans in general aren't considerate, but I feel like in mm-hmm. these situations, that's not something that's on their mind to be like considerate regarding the volume towards other people. Whereas in Germany, I feel like you'll hear that a lot by German parents, like saying to their kids, like, psh, nicht so laut, stört doch die anderen Leute nicht, like don't bother the people around us. Mm-hmm. And that's like a very common thing in Germany.
Yeah, I would agree that that's definitely a difference between the two. And that in that sense, Americans are definitely louder.
Okay, let's go back to Germany. I'll let you pick one again. Oh, I actually kind of know which one I want to talk about. Can I pick it?
Yeah, go for it.
Can we talk about the sense of humor one? Germans have no mm-hmm. sense of humor. One person even commented something like, if even Robin Williams said so, then it has to be true. So
so I'm the expat, so I get to go first on this one.
Yes, I was going
to
say, like, well, so what's your take? What do we
say? I 100% disagree with this being a cliche. I think there are some very funny Germans, and I mean, in my workplace, people crack jokes all the time. There are very funny Germans. That's just simply not true. I think maybe it has something to do with the German accent when people are speaking English, or when Germans are speaking English, that it doesn't come off as quite as funny. Mm-hmm. But when Germans are speaking with each other, they crack jokes all the time. I mean, it's just like any other country, or at least I would say Western mm-hmm. country that I know of, that people do crack jokes with each other. I think generally compared to, we have to make a distinction again between a professional culture or professional environment and a private environment. Mm-hmm. For example, the listeners will know who Letty is, my French roommate. She mentions on a regular basis how she misses the small talk or like cracking jokes with a waiter that you will have in France. You don't get as much of that here in Germany as you would in the US either. So as far as making jokes in everyday life with people you don't know, I would say I agree that Germans are quote unquote less funny. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to your friend friend group or even close coworkers, I would say there's not much of a difference in that Germans are indeed funny. I think also, and I want to make sure that I'm not using one of the other points. I was going to talk a little bit about sarcasm.
No, I think that's not on there. So go ahead.
How people often say that, I feel like Germans use a lot of sarcasm.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, I think.
Yeah. I feel like generally Germans use more sarcasm than Americans do. I remember getting scolded as a child for when I was sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, obviously I can't compare it to a German education or the way that you're raised by your parents in Germany, but I just feel like there's a lot more sarcasm that I hear from Germans than I hear in the US, but that's just my perception.
Yeah, and it's funny because I always get told like, oh, Americans use so much sarcasm and Germans don't understand sarcasm. That's like a thing that is also a cliche, I feel like. Germans have no sense of humor and they don't understand mm-hmm. sarcasm.
But now you have me thinking, like when I think of comedians in the US, I feel like they do use a lot of sarcasm.
Yeah, and I feel like so do German comedians, no?
So maybe this is why it's just a stupid cliche, and that's why you shouldn't make generalizations about people, because you'll find it in both countries. But as far as humor is concerned, of course Germans are funny and have humor, yeah. or have a sense of humor.
Would you say that the sense of humor is different? I feel like this is something that you could judge pretty well, because as we said, in a lot of cases it's a language barrier that makes it mm-hmm. hard to compare, but you're fluent in both languages, so you would kind of be able to compare it maybe.
It's such a hard question, I feel okay. like.
You don't have to answer it. I was just curious.
Well, I'm struggling in my brain right now with Bavarian humor as opposed to any other Germans.
Mm-hmm.
So like the jokes that are made in the office, and also the fact that I have such an international friend group.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know Germans, but a lot of the Germans that I know, we speak a lot of English with each other. Mm. And I don't know. I just see them as people as opposed to, oh, this is German humor or this is American humor. So I don't know. I don't think I can make that generalization.
Okay. Maybe you would have to consume like more German comedy like on TV yes. or something like that mm-hmm. to kind of see that. But I mean, I've definitely been
told
that.
Watch a lot of German stand-up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't been watching stand-up at all, like, recently.
Yeah.
Neither American nor German. If anything, like, I've maybe watched a little bit of, like, Caroline Kebekus here and there, like, just little clips. But no, basically, I've definitely been told that German humor is more drier.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say some people have said that it's darker. I'm not quite sure. I feel like German humor in a lot of cases, and this is my take on it because I've been in situations in the US where I was like, why does everyone think this is funny? I feel like German humor is more complex sometimes. And I think someone okay. actually said something, I'm going to read that here in a second, mm-hmm. said something in the comments about that where I disagreed with. I feel like it often, if it's too superficial, it's not funny because it's like, yeah, duh, like, okay, How is that humor? Like, that's so yeah. obvious. Like, for example, I feel like American comedians, or also just Americans in general, in a lot of cases, it'll be like a pretty basic sex joke or something like that. Or like, I don't want to sound like arrogant, but I've definitely heard a lot of jokes that are just very obvious, that you would make as a teenager mm-hmm. regarding just basic relationship differences or mm-hmm. Just very basic concepts, a lot of, you know, let's say dick jokes, I don't know, poop jokes. Like, I don't even know, like, I can't think of a lot of examples.
It's a simpler humor.
A little bit simple sometimes. And then I feel like, well, Germans, we have to dig at least one level deeper mm-hmm. to find it funny. And then it has to be like a twist on the obviously already established simple humor mm-hmm. to make it funny again, especially when you're older. Or it has to be like a take on something political or something that's been mm-hmm. going on in the world that everyone like knows about. So that's my personal perspective. But someone actually commented the opposite. Where is it? Here, someone said, German humor is very direct and one note, whereas American humor is more complex and involves a twist or subversion of expectations that cleverly references something from earlier. As a metaphor, black coffee with sugar versus a frappuccino. So I guess like German humor would be black coffee with sugar, and American humor would be a frappuccino. And I think, yeah, that, but exactly the opposite. I would say, German humor is the more complex one. That's my opinion. Maybe I've just not consumed enough like American comedians, but I feel like the comedians that I've watched, like, for example, I know that people love Dave Chappelle, and I know a lot of Germans do too. I've only seen a few things by him. Like, I personally did not grow up with the Dave Chappelle show, but the things that I've seen were not funny at all. And I was like, this is so like either wrong or just so simple, such a simple joke that I can't even laugh about it. Yeah. That's one example. I know that I'm going to piss a lot of people off because I know that he has so many huge fans.
I was going to say, you're opening yourself up to criticism.
Yeah, and that's okay, because I feel like if you guys have a different take on it, I'd be very interested to hear it. And if you guys have, like, you know, suggestions for things that I should watch. Like, for example, on the other hand, some of my favorite comedic shows are American. Scrubs, for example, genius. Ted Lasso, genius. How I Met Your Mother, also one of my favorite shows. I used to love, like, watch a lot of sitcoms, like Full House, the old Full House. Mm-hmm. Love it. So that, on the other hand, I like. Personally, not a huge fan of The Office, for example. But I think that's just...
See, I like The Office.
But also, a lot of Germans do, too. I think that's just a personal thing. A lot of Germans like The Office, too. And, like, we also have a German version of The Office as well. Anyways.
I don't want to keep going on the topic of humor, because I'm not like super versed in comedy, so I don't feel like I have too many interesting perspectives to say, but or to give. I was thinking about like How I Met Your Mother, which I know a lot of people love, and I can enjoy it, but I think I get like sometimes it just seems a little simple in the humor, like it's not complex enough for me.
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother is definitely not super complex. I like the show itself. Like, I don't watch it to laugh. I like it, and I also laugh about the characters and certain things that happens. The humor of Scrubs, though, that's something where I can just watch one episode, and it's just hilarious to me.
Okay, see, I actually have never seen Scrubs, so.
Have you watched Ted Lasso?
I haven't.
Okay.
So maybe we should move on to the next topic.
Yeah, we've also been going for a while, so
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, either we're not going to cover everything, or we're just like going to go a little bit shorter on the next.
I was going to say, should we do like a spitfire round?
Okay, let's do that. Wait, did we just do a German one or American one?
Where was the comedy? Was it in Germany?
Oh yeah, we did. That was a German one. Yeah.
Okay, so another American one is all Americans love guns. What do you have to say about that, Feli?
Definitely not all of them. So that would be wrong, but a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, obviously you guys know that from the news. Like, I don't have to tell you like the numbers and, you know, the presence of guns here and how many people are like very big supporters of their freedom of owning a gun and how many people have a gun at home. I was definitely shocked by that, how many people actually have several guns at home. Not 100% true the way it's phrased, because no, it's not all Americans, because there's also about half the country who are more European-minded in that regard, which is like my opinion as well. Like, you know, I'm for stricter gun control and stuff like that. I don't think everyone should have a gun at home. But Yain. A lot of Americans love guns, not all of them.
I would agree. The way that the question or the cliche is phrased, all Americans love guns, I disagree with. But there is a very large percentage of the United States that does love guns. It's a third person.
Is it that, or isn't it in English like that do love guns? Because I feel like every time I use it like that, I get corrected and they're like, no, it's plural.
I think it actually is does technically, but people say do. Because they get confused by the fact that you say the percentage of Americans. Yeah. So the plural is the Americans, but I think the percentage itself is the singular. I don't know, though. So there is a very large percentage of Americans that enjoys guns. I can't speak anymore.
Brain fart.
Yes. But like you said, there's quite a few that also agree that there should be stricter gun control. And I find myself in a situation where I grew up with not guns in the home, but with exposure to firearms and shooting. And it's something that I do enjoy to do, but at the same time, I don't need it. Mm-hmm. So I think there are also quite a few people in that boat as well that grew up appreciating the fact that that is a freedom that people have in the United States, but also recognizing that there need to be restrictions on it. So
yeah,
that's my answer in the Spitfire round. Back to Germany.
Germans always follow the rules.
Yes.
Yes.
to put it briefly, yes. I mean, obviously not always, but yes. I mean, you just have to think about crossing the street on a red light and the looks that you can get if you do that. Or I think about work and there's a process and this is the process and you have to follow the process. And you think about going to a Amt, like you said, mm-hmm. so to a government office, and this is the process, these are the rules, and you have to follow them. There's no exceptions. So I think that generally it's definitely more of a rule following country as opposed to the US, where you have more of the mentality of the rules are there to be broken.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And you're a dep if you get caught following the rules.
You're an idiot.
but they got you. They got you. You're a little dumb if you get caught or if you're stuck following the rules, if you don't find your way around them.
Yeah. I would agree overall. Like me personally, I've always been the one German who did jaywalk, except if there's a kid. if there's a child standing there, I'm not going to do it in front of them. But I think I've always kind of been a little bit more American in that sense. I've always kind of thought, like, why do we need to follow a stupid rule? That doesn't make sense. But overall, yep, true. Back to American cliches. Ooh, can I pick this one?
Yeah.
Lots of ice cubes in their drinks. I'm the expat, so I get to answer first. Yes. Yep. And if you want my comment on it, way too many.
I guess I can give my opinion right away, too.
Yeah.
I agree that there are lots of ice cubes. Are they too many? I wouldn't necessarily say so. But I don't really use ice cubes now that I live here. Mm. I mean, occasionally if I make like a cocktail, you need ice cubes oftentimes.
Yeah, you'll have ice cubes in a German cocktail as well. It's not like
that.
Yes,
of course.
But we don't usually put it in our water or soda.
I do think it's funny though, like from as an American to see like one ice cube in a soda. Like that is funny to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's just something that we could discuss because it's just a cultural difference that will probably never go away. From the German perspective, I think that I'm saying like, let's not get into it, and then I'm getting into
now you're going into it.
But I feel like I think the German perspective makes much more sense because it's way more logical, which also that wasn't on the cliche things. But I feel like if you want to talk about cliches, I feel like one cliche that is kind of true is that Germans like to think logically.
They like to think logically.
Maybe, but I think with ice cubes, it's true because first of all, you're getting ripped off. You're not getting as much of the drink. Well, that's the Preis-Leistungs-Verhältnis thing that we talked about. Yes. Germans like to get something for their money. So if you have half of the cup ice cubes, but you pay for a full cup, you're being scammed for half of the cup, right? And then also,
however,
water's
you
down,
get free refills.
Well, yeah, but that kind of depends on what. Like, for example, let's talk about a cocktail also, for example. Okay. Cocktails also have too many ice cubes in the US, and that is definitely a ripoff. And then you water, like depending on how fast you drink it, but if you let it sit for a little bit, you water whatever you're drinking down to a point that it doesn't taste like it's supposed to taste anymore. You know what I mean? It ruins the
I understand what you're saying, and I can understand the logic behind it.
But I strongly disagree.
I don't strongly disagree. It's just the way I was raised. And for me, a soda is supposed to be very cold, and therefore you need lots of ice cubes.
Yeah.
Punkt fertig.
I think we should jump to the German cliche that fits this. Where is it? It's somewhere. I can't even
Germans
find
drink
it. But I'm
warm
just
beer?
Yes. Isn't it on the list?
It is indeed on the list.
I can't find it right now. But yeah, Germans drink warm
it
beer.
For you.
Okay. Oh yeah, I'm so dumb. I was literally looking at the American list. Okay, Germans drink warm beer. Josh.
False. False. Absolutely false. I think Americans drink beer that's way too cold, oftentimes. But no, Germans don't drink warm beer, unless it's a emergency situation.
What's an emergency situation?
And in that case, they will drink more room temperature beer.
Hold on, I got to close my curtain.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm blinded by the light here. Okay, go on.
But Germans will not drink warm beer. They may drink close to room temperature beer, but warm beer, no.
Yeah.
No one enjoys a warm beer.
No. Agreed. I've heard so many takes on this over the last 5 years since I've mentioned it on my YouTube channel. I've heard things from different Germans, from different Americans. Like, Americans will comment, well, I was in Germany last year and I drank warm beer. I think, on the one hand, it has to do with perception of what's warm and what's cold. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, Americans drink beer extremely cold, which, from my German perspective, makes sense because the beer doesn't taste as good. So then, like, the colder a drink is, just in general, the colder a drink is, the less flavor you get. So mm-hmm. it makes sense. You want to, like, suppress the flavor of it. But, yeah, so compared to that, you could say, like, yeah, we drink it warmer. Mm-hmm. In our tolerance, I think, for warm drinks in general, not warm. See, I don't warmer drinks in general, yes. like room temperature drinks, is much higher because, like, we don't drink the soda and the water with ice yeah. either. So, like, we're kind of used to it more. So it doesn't feel that warm to us if it's not ice cold. On the other hand, apparently, like, Germans did drink warm beer back in the day. Like, I've heard of beer warmers from, like, yeah. the post-World War II era, which I've personally never seen one, never, like, you know, seen one with my grandparents or anything like that. But apparently it was a thing. So that's partly where the cliche comes from as well, probably. But answer is no, we don't drink warm beer. Sorry. I'm not making this spit round very easy.
Spit fire round.
But it's so nice to share these facts about it.
Yes, the tidbits. Yeah. So moving into our final round. So our last American... Are we in America now? Or yes. are we in the U.S. or are we in Germany?
We're in the U.S., yeah.
So our last American cliche. Feli, do you want to pick one that you want to comment on since you get to comment Ooh. First as the expat?
Last one. Okay, oh gosh. Oh gosh, there's so many though. Okay, I feel like I kind of have to pick this one. Like, I'm going to combine them a little bit because this is such mm-hmm. a big one. And... okay, there were different ones. So, Americans are stupid. Americans are bad at geography. They're poorly educated in non-American history / don't know a lot about other countries and their cultures. I kind of combined that all because I feel like it kind of goes mm-hmm. along with each other. And I would... It's crazy because that is one of the most common cliches, like the dumb American. Is it true? Yine also, because those people do exist. I feel like there are... a lot of ignorant people in this country. Yes, there are a lot of people who don't know anything about other countries outside of the U.S. Or don't even know a lot about their own country. People who ask the stupidest questions about where Germany is located or what language we speak there or political things or, you know, just they hear somewhere that we're a communist or something. And they're like, oh, yeah, how's communism? In Germany, and it's like, yeah, no, nope,
gosh.
We're not communists.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, just, you know, that exists. I wouldn't yes. say that's the majority, but it's way more common than in Germany. We kind of talked about it, how Germans know a lot about the things that they purchase. I feel like Germans also know way more details about international politics, and this also has to do with the position that we're in geographically and mm-hmm. Economically, like we're so much closer to other countries within Europe. We're, like, we're at the center of Europe, and we're also kind of dependent on, for example, the U.S. and we have a very close relationship to the U.S. and to other countries, mm-hmm. and that's why we know a lot about the political issues going on. Like, we've mentioned this before, but I feel like a lot of my German friends followed the American presidential elections last year more closely than my yeah. American friends did. So, yeah, compared to that, how, like, a lot of Germans just know a lot about geographic facts and political things and economic things. I would kind of say, yeah, overall, Americans are more stupid. That's a dumb word. Know a little bit less, are a little bit less informed maybe about those things. Whether it has to do with intelligence or not, I would say no. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it has to do with interest, with culture, like how just how you're raised. Now, this also mentioned that they don't learn a lot about non-American history. I think that's true in the American school system. So that would probably also have to do with it in a way. And then, yeah, don't know a lot about other countries and their cultures. Overall, yes, I would say for the average American, that's definitely more true than for the average German. Of course, I've met many, many Americans like you, Josh, and many other people that know a lot about other cultures, that know way more about German history than I do, for example, or because they're like super interested in this whole World War II topic or something, or people who know just extremely much about international politics and cultures. International cultures, that wasn't good. Other cultures. So, you know, it's not something you can just answer just like that. But I will say the reason that this cliche exists, I can see where the cliche comes from. I will say that. So it's like yes and no.
And I would agree with that. I think it's not out of a lack of interest. I think you'll find a lot of Americans who don't have the knowledge, but are very interested in learning. So if they have a German in front of them, they will want to ask a lot of questions about Germany and get to know, like, I mean, sometimes they may be quote unquote stupid questions, but the interest is there. I think a lot of it has to do with the school system and the media as well, which is all very US, North America specific, but mostly US specific. Which then results in kind of like this loop of, okay, if I don't learn much about the rest of the world in school, and then also the media doesn't really talk about the rest of the world too much, it becomes a cycle where you just become very US specific in your in your everyday life. It doesn't really affect you if something's going on in Germany or in France or in Italy. I think because the US is such an economic powerhouse as well, like you said, there isn't necessarily as much of an awareness of the need from coming from other countries. So I think in that regard, I would agree that the knowledge may not be there, but interest is there. And like you said, I don't think it has anything to do with intelligence. I just think it has to do with more culture. That it's not, there isn't necessarily as high of a cultural value placed on knowing things about the rest of the world as there is in Germany.
I think that's a good answer. I agree with what you said. So then let's maybe go to the last German cliche.
Now I have to find which question I want to answer as my last one. I think as a good last point, it would be the cliche, and I don't even like it to call it a cliche because I don't think it's much of a cliche, but just an observation, that Germans are a lot more willing to confront their history than Americans. I think that's something that is true. I think that oftentimes in the U.S., if you criticize the U.S. or something that the U.S. has done in the past, that you can quickly be jumped on as hating America or trying to rewrite history. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. How can I word this? I'm struggling to find words for the way that I feel. But I think if you criticize the US, the gut reaction for many people is, oh, you don't like the US, and if you don't like it, then you should leave it. Whereas I think because of the German history and the way that Germans have been forced to deal with their history, especially regarding World War II, that isn't a gut reaction. And that leads to more meaningful conversation that can take place because you don't automatically go on the defense if someone criticizes Germany or the way that certain things are done. So in that regard, I think that is definitely true, that Germans are very well educated in the history of their country, and that also they're not opposed to discussing and criticizing and looking at some of the things that didn't go well for the country, or that the country hasn't done well in the past, and learning from it. So I think that's more of an openness and being open to self-reflection as opposed to needing to feel like you have to carry this narrative of the US is the best country in the world and that's just the way it is. Because even I would even say in some circles in the US where it's very much a there are a lot of where people will say there are a lot of things that need to improve on the in the US and that we need to work on, there's still oftentimes very much the pride of the US is the best country in the world and that's why we need to work on it, as opposed to in Germany where I feel like that's not a claim that's made as often as this is the best country in the world or this is even one of the best countries. That's out of the conversation. It's just this is the country we live in, we're thankful to be here, and these are the things that are good about it and these are the things that are bad about it, and looking at it like you said kind of logically and less on an emotional level. And that's something that I appreciate about Germany and I definitely think is true.
I would say, yeah, overall, I would also say it's true. As a German, I would also say there's also still a lot of things that you can criticize about how we talk about our past, and not necessarily just the Nazi past, which obviously is like the most prevalent when you talk about this topic. But there's definitely a lot of topics, especially in like international politics, like where Germany was involved in certain international things, conflicts, wars, whatever, or still is involved to this day, where like people don't talk about a lot or where it hasn't really become a big part of the narrative. And I just want to bring this up because I know that young Germans or Germans of all generations, but I feel like more recently have started to criticize the way that we don't really deal with those parts of our history for probably just the reason, I would assume a big part of the reason is just that we focus so much on the other bad history that we've had in our country that the other things kind of don't have a lot of space anymore. I don't think that Germany as a country is trying to ignore a lot of these things. But so I just want to like make sure that we also, Germany isn't handling things perfectly. But in comparison to the US, I would definitely say, especially when it comes to racism, the history of racism in the US, slavery, the way that the white people treated the Native Americans, indigenous people back in the day, all those topics I know aren't, in a lot of cases, aren't addressed with real facts at all. And then in some cases, they're kind of like they're told in a more like in a nicer way than they actually are. But I know that in a lot of American school books, like they've even gone back to rewriting the narrative of like, you know, the white people taught the Native Americans how to do certain things and like the white people were so nice to them. Kind of like those things, I can't really see that happen in Germany, that it gets twisted in a way to just portray the Americans as the nice people, even if historically it just simply wasn't like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think for me, it's hard with that topic because I did go to a school where we did address a lot of those topics. Maybe not in the depth that I wish we would have, but I never felt like I was being taught anything that wasn't necessarily true. It just may have not been given as much importance and significance as I wish it would have. And I think one thing, especially when you talk about like the treatment of the indigenous people or Native Americans, oftentimes they're referred to like in the past. The Indians were, or the American Native Americans used to, like, you forget the fact that there's still a significant population of Native Americans or people from the First Nations that oftentimes just gets brushed over. And I can't compare that to Germany. I don't know. I mean, obviously, the Germans are the people of Germany, so it's hard. That's not really a topic per se, but maybe the treatment of immigrants to Germany is a topic that doesn't get as much focus as maybe it deserves. So I think that's a good point, and I'm glad that you brought it up as well. That there are issues besides just the Second World War.
Yeah, but I think we've gotten like pretty serious and political towards the end. I kind of want to like lighten it up before the end of the episode because there were a couple just quick things that I thought were just funny. I'll just read them and then we can like, you can say something about it if you want to. And these were all about Germany. They wear sandals with socks when they go on vacation and they always travel with huge backpacks. Then someone said, David Hasselhoff is apparently a big star in Germany. He also said, Germans get up at 5 a.m. to put blankets out on the loungers at their hotel pool to reserve them. And then, okay, Germans are rude and direct. That's mm-hmm. that's like not even that funny. Also, they often use English swear words in a normal sentence because they don't seem like swear words to them.
This is true.
I don't think any politician in the UK would use the word shitstorm in a TV interview like Merkel has.
Yeah, 100% true.
What about the socks and sandal thing?
Socks and sandals. The issue is I haven't really gone. I mean, that's not true. I've gone on vacation with Germans, like with you and with our friend Niklas and his wife. But socks and sandals, I don't see too much of it unless they're at home. I mean, I will say if you're at home, like walking around in your socks and then like your
house
home shoes.
Your Adiletten, like your, like, what are they
like? That's normal.
Yeah, but I see that in the US as well.
Exactly. So I don't think that's anything special to Germany. So I don't know if that's necessarily true. But it's obviously a cliche that everyone says. And then the thing with the towels on the beach chairs or the loungers.
That is 100% true.
I haven't been to enough destinations where there's a large population of Germans to be able to say, okay, these are the Germans who are doing it. So I can't comment on that. But I know you have.
Oh, I've been to plenty because, like, growing up, you know, as a German like family, I would go to a lot of those hotel resorts thingies, like somewhere in Southern Europe or... Mm-hmm. I don't know where else. I'm sure like in Thailand and other places that exist as well. And you can just tell like those places are usually kind of international. Like there's tourists from all over the place. And the cliche is, and this is something that I can confirm from my own experience, the British are always sunburned. They don't, they're always red. They always look like lobsters. And the Germans, yeah, they get up in the morning and then reserve their lounge chairs at the pool or at the beach but with a towel. And then they go get breakfast, go back to sleep, do whatever. And then they don't come back later until like hours later. Which
that's so not cool.
Yeah, that's so not cool. And it's so like the opposite of what I said earlier about being considerate, because it's very inconsiderate reserving a lounge chair if... There might not be a lot of other lounge chairs available, right? And if you're not even there to use it. But that is very German. You will definitely see that. Other nationalities don't do that, I don't think.
I was going to say, the American in me would be like, okay, if no one's coming, I'm moving this towel because this is ridiculous.
I feel like the backpack thing when we travel, that's kind of true, I think.
Yeah, Germans, I was going to say, I think backpacks. That's true, yeah. I wouldn't even just say Germans. I would say Northern Europeans in general.
Really? Okay.
That's
and then
just
the last
my perception,
thing,
though.
That's definitely possible. Yeah, I think, like, at least for Germans, I know it for sure, we like to always be prepared, and we like to bring whatever we might need in the event of whatever happening. Whatever weather or what, like, bring some medicine, bring some Band-Aids, bring, like, whatever you might need.
Because they're like the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, kind of. Like, we're always well prepared. And then the last one about David Hasselhoff, I mentioned this in a video before. You can kind of say, yeah, it's a cliche. Like, not every German loves David Hasselhoff. But in a certain generation, I don't really know from when to when, but, like, people in their 40s, 50s mm-hmm. maybe also, yes. I was actually in Linz once mm-hmm. visiting. Well, I was with our friend Pauline and Teresa. Mm-hmm. And there was a David Hasselhoff concert that day. And we saw people walk around with the Hoff t-shirts all day. And they were all like in that age group, you know, like 40s, mm-hmm. 50s. Please correct me if I'm wrong about the age, guys, in the comments below. But I definitely know that there is a generation in Germany where, like, yes, he has a lot of fans in Germany.
I some of my coworkers who are in their late 30s are also big fans of him.
Okay, yeah. So it's like... For my generation, no. Like, I have no really relationship to this guy whatsoever, neither as a singer nor as an actor. But I know that for Germans who are older than me, that is definitely the case. So it's kind of
mm-hmm.
true.
Yeah,
and I think on that note, we can wrap up the cliche episode.
Yes.
I think it was really
fun,
interesting.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been. I've enjoyed getting the perspective from both sides. You know, what is it like as an American to see it from the other side? And Yeah. So I've really enjoyed this episode and I hope that you guys have as well.
Yeah. Hopefully you've learned a little bit here and there.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe we answered your question or your cliche also.
And if we haven't, then you know the standard ways to reach out to us. You can send us an email at understandingtrainstation@gmail.com. You can also leave a comment if you're watching this podcast on YouTube. Additionally, if you're not watching on YouTube and can't leave a comment, my brain isn't working right now, then you can send us a message on Instagram. We have an Instagram. It is Understanding Train Station.
Yeah, and then you can, of course, also subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or follow or whatever it's called. You can also leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I haven't looked into those in a while. I think I need to,
yeah, I need to
do that again. And
well,
you need to look into the German ones because I can't see the German ones on my phone. And you can't see the American ones, I don't think.
Yeah.
Right? Is your iPhone set to Germany?
No, I set up my iTunes store for Germany. Okay. So. I'll take the screenshots and send them to you.
Cool. Yeah, it kind of sucks that they like make a difference there between the different regions. But yeah, if you also want to support us beyond just leaving a comment and subscribing, you can do so on Patreon, patreon.com/understandingtrainstation. You can be part of our monthly Patreon hangout sessions, which I have to admit, I missed the last one because I was
in my
moving stress and I had it on my calendar, but I didn't even check my calendar. There was so much going on. And I totally let you down, Josh. I'm sorry, but I know
it happens.
That you guys still had a good time. So
yeah.
Even without me there.
We managed without you, Feli.
I will be there next time again. And then you can also buy us a drink, buy us a whatever you want, pumpkin spice latte for the American fall
Glühwein.
Vibes.
You can buy me a Glühwein.
Glühwein, mulled wine on buymeacoffee.com/UTS podcast. Thank you guys so much for your support. And you will hear us again in 2 weeks on Thursday. Until then.
I was going to say, until then, servus.
Tschüss.